A reading from the book of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their light has never been out from of old, nor will be again after them in the ages to come. But even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
And will make me understand wisdom's secret. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of our loving and forgiving God. Amen. Today, as a church, we proclaim a fast. As we read, it is what the prophet Joel also did, and so we can look to Joel for insight about this fast that we proclaim. Now, that's harder than it might sound, because the prophet Joel does not have a known historical context. It's thought perhaps to be from the 4th century before the Common Era. That would be in what's called the Persian period. And although Joel mentions the Day of the Lord, his book shows no great interest in that phrase meaning the end of the world, which Day of the Lord often means in other people's minds. Joel mentions armies, but it's as a figure of speech. And it appears that what he's concerned about is uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen. And while we don't know what prompted that feeling of uncertainty for Joel, I think we can identify exactly with this sentiment. What is going to happen in the next 6 months? Should we fear for what the future holds? In a way, I fear for what the future holds. I can identify with Joel as feeling uncertain. But why proclaim a fast? How would that help? What does that accomplish? Joel's logic as we follow it in this reading is that if we return to the Lord, perhaps the Lord will turn to us and give us a blessing. And I have to wonder, well, return? Did we ever leave? Have we left the Lord? And so I thought about that. I wonder if maybe we leave the Lord every day. Every time we face into uncertainty and feel like we are alone, we have left behind our awareness that God is always with us. So maybe what a fast will accomplish is that it will help us to pare down details, discomfort, uncertainty, so that we notice again that God really is with us. The Creator has never left us. So a fast is for clarity, to help us with our fear about the future, our discomfort, our uncertainty. And if that's why we're going to do it, now we can look to Jesus and get into some specifics. And so he says some interesting things. He says, don't pray so that others can see it. Don't give alms so that others can see it. Don't disfigure your face so that others can see. Well, is that what we do on Ash Wednesday? Are we disfiguring our faces so people can see? Do we give so that people see that we give? Do we pray in ways so that other people see us pray? You know, you can look at this a lot of ways and say, you know, sometimes a witness is really helpful. A public prayer might be exactly what's needed. I think what Jesus is saying is, don't be performative. Performative means when you do it for the sake of your potential audience. Now, in an age of social media, not very much is private. And you can curate your social media in a way that is performative, that says, look at me. This doesn't mean that we can't talk about our struggles. Talking about your struggles doesn't mean you're showing off. When we talk to each other about what we pray about, that's not performative. When we talk about causes we care about and why we want to support them, even when we put ashes on our foreheads, it's about the spirit in which we do it. It's not so that others will see it. The spirit in which we do these things of which Jesus speaks is to be humility, honesty, encouragement when we feel we need it ourselves and we can give it to others, to our community. We support each other by knowing and seeing each other. My personal view of ashes is they're one of the most meaningful things I experience in the whole church year. I think of the ashes as a mirror, one of the most valuable mirrors. When I hear, remember that you are dust and to dust you will return, I'm seeing myself as not an infinite being in this particular physical life. The mirror of the ashes shows me that I'm fragile. But I think the mirror also shows that God is in the mirror with us. The ashes are a mirror that show us that God has never left us. And God wants to give us a blessing. Joel speaks of maybe God will leave us a blessing. I'm sure of it, that God wants to bless us. And so tonight, in this opportunity to recognize that our years on earth are not infinite, maybe think of them as your mirror to know God is with you in all your doubts and troubles and uncertainty. And keep this mirror for the next 40 days. Remember over the next 40 days that God never abandoned you. And you are precious in God's sight. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, every year at the time of the Christian Passover, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is the time to prepare for this celebration and to renew our life in the Paschal mystery. We begin this holy season by remembering our need for repentance and for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We begin our journey to Easter with the sign of ashes, an ancient sign speaking of the frailty and uncertainty of human life, and marking the penitence of the community as a whole. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Lord, to observe our Holy Lent by self-examination, penitence, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. We pray before our Creator and Redeemer.
deepest yearnings as we pray, saying, Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the persecuted, the victims of war, those who are ill, the homeless. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
In these unsettled times, grant us peace. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Help us to come alive in your love. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Help us not to be frozen either by the past or the future. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Help us stay on the good road. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Help us to join with others in the ways of love that Jesus teaches. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Amen.
Thank you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.